Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in Richard Justice from MLB.com, one of the great baseball writers in the country. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of The Real Deal. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Morning, Richard.
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, the Astros pulling off that trade at the end of the trade deadline, I think that was it was almost like just mean. You know, it was almost like telling everybody
else unfair.
We are the best. We did it with Verlander. We're going to do it again. And it makes everybody believe that they are the team to beat and the team to watch, and now they're going to beat up on the poor White Sox. It just seems mean-spirited.
Well, you know, that trade got them was way out of their comfort zone, because they had sort of privately used the 2016 Cubs as an example. Be careful. You win. In trying to win again, you deplete your farm system. You're limited by trades. And then they went out and did exactly that. They had, over the offseason, they had walked away from a trade for JT Realmuto, for James Paxton, because the price and prospects was just too high. And they gave up number 3, 4, and 5 in their system to get Greinke, because they look at their team and they say, look, Gerrit Cole's not going to be here in a couple of months. Our window is open. George Springer's never going to be a better player than he is right now. Let's give our guys every chance to make a deal. And there's a psychological part of it too. A few years ago, Toronto was in town on the trade deadline day. They got 5 guys. No, not one of the guys would turn your head. Nobody in the Astros got nobody. And you could feel the vibe in the two clubhouses that was different, you know. And having said all that, it puts them in the best chance, best position they could be in to win. But at the end of the year, you know, it's like Jim Leland always would say, don't tell me who the best team is. Tell me who's healthy and who's playing well. So that's the challenge now. They would like to have a better record than the Yankees and Dodgers, but what they would really like to have is everything lined up, because they have some headaches in the back of the bullpen right now. But you're right, it's a scary deep team.
And Richard, as they come to Chicago, obviously with the White Sox struggling to the extent that they have struggled over the years, the obvious comparison is to the Sox fans want to look at the Astros and say, we can do that. We're struggling, and the Astros averaged 104 losses for, you know, from 2011 and 2014. The Sox certainly have lost 95 and 100. So there's the model that exists. At the same time, the Astros have drafted wisely, and they have made some really smart moves to put themselves in a position to win a World Series and to be back in contention for another one. Do you see a comparison? And if you don't, what have the White Sox not done that the Astros did?
You know, what the White Sox have done is stay the course. When the Astros, a guy named Jim Crane, Houston businessman, bought the team in late 2011, he brought in Jeff Luhnow. And I remember telling people at the winter meetings, this is what he's going to do. He's going to let Jeff Luhnow, who had a great draft record in St. Louis, he's going to let him tear it down and start over. And I think it might have been La Russa or someone who said to me, see what happens when we lose 8 in a row. They'll go out and get some veterans. Competitive people can't take losing. And the other side, and you guys have seen it, is that when you stay the course, and it's amazing that they stayed the course. And it,
I think we're having hold on 1 second, Richard. We're trying to clean up the line. I think he's making a great point. And
about staying the course, when you determine that you're going to be a losing franchise for several years, can you stomach that? And do you have the wherewithal to kind of deal with everything that comes with that?
Can your fan base stomach it too? I mean, can you put up with the losing and still invest the dollars, still go out to the park and still enjoy the part of the show that is there for you? And, you know, I told you I was out there this weekend. It's well worth it. It's worth the investment of time and money, because it's a great place to go, and it's baseball, and the ballpark looks great, and they're doing all sorts of different things to try to get you to commit to it. But we're back with Richard Justice. And, Richard, you were saying that that when we look at a team like the White Sox, it's staying the course that matters, right?
Yeah. And Jerry Reinsdorf has allowed Rick Hahn to do his thing, and Rick has made a series of terrific trades. I mean, when you look at the White Sox now, you see the Royals of 2011, 2012. You see the Braves, and you see the Astros. There's so much talent there. They're going to win. Now, look, developing talent is not the same as creating a winning major league roster. And that's a different challenge. But the first thing you have to do is get Kopech and Eloy and all those guys up there and give them a chance to sit in. Because if you, the Royals are a really good model, because those guys, Moustakas, Hosmer, Sal Perez, they all came up. And then the team kept stumbling. They stumbled. Moustakas got sent back down. I mean, it's a real challenge. But the point is, you can't win if you don't have the talent. And the White Sox have all kinds of talent.
So that's the prism through which the White Sox fan will view the Astros coming to town. How about the Cubs fan? When you talk about the Cubs and the Astros, the debate will be whose championship window can stay open the longest. And right. If you look at the way the Astros have structured this season and for the next couple seasons, how would you answer that?
I would answer that I don't know. And because I think you can say the Astros have a stronger farm system than the Cubs, although they just weakened it a lot. But everything, you know, it's that you always hear NFL coaches talk about, one year we caught lightning in a bottle. We don't know how we got it. We don't know how we lose it. The Astros have a certain vibe. Verlander changed the makeup of the clubhouse. George Springer is the guy that leads everything through his enthusiasm and all that. And La Russa would always say, the group dynamic, you have to change your group dynamics every year, because they're going to change anyway as guys get older. They don't like their money. They do like their money. All those a myriad of different things. And so you just, I think the way Theo looks at it is the same way that Jeff Luno looks at it, is we try to win today and we'll worry about tomorrow. You know, they're creative, smart people, and you just have to keep replenishing your minor league system the best you can and hope for the best. But you look up when you see what happened with the Cubs in 2016 and the Astros in 2017. It was a perfect storm of talent and being able to manipulate the roster and a hundred different things. And then even though you look at how the Cubs won, how crazy Game 7 was, the Astros, if Alex Bregman doesn't homer off Chris Sale in the division series, they're headed to a deciding Game 5. They had to win two elimination games at home against the Yankees to get to the World Series. And then a guy named Marwin Gonzalez, who plays for the Twins now, he hits an 0-2 fastball over the wall against the best closer in baseball in the bottom of the ninth inning of Game 2 of the World Series. Or there ain't no parade in Houston.
You know, it was interesting to hear Joe Maddon speak on Sunday and talk about his job security and basically say that, I'll be back. You know, so if it's about wins and losses, I've been winning and, I'm going to do it a couple more years. I don't know how that sits with management. I don't know if Theo wants to hear that, if Tom Ricketts wants to hear it. And we are under the assumption that Theo will be making the final call and that Tom will sort of rubber stamp whatever Theo says to him regarding Joe. The days of the big money manager are kind of behind us, and everybody has a different viewpoint of that. What's your take on this? What is your take on his future?
My take on it is that it's pretty extraordinary that you take a manager with his credentials and you basically call him out and you say, we don't like the way you've been doing your job and we want to see something different. And I can only imagine, if you put truth serum in Joe Maddon, what he would be saying about that. Because when you allow a manager to work in the final year of his contract, you create 100 different negative scenarios in terms of security, communication, all of those stuff. But so far it's worked out, and I think Joe has enough confidence in himself to feel like, hey, I'll be managing somewhere next year. I mean... managing the Cubs is not like managing other teams in that you have to manage up, you have to manage down, you have to manage the media scrutiny, and you're not going to get anybody better than him. And I've seen it in Houston. You know, A.J. Hinch was the second hire by this regime, and he came with a terrible reputation after what happened in Phoenix and the way he got fired by the Diamondbacks and all. And he's been unbelievable. I mean, when you list all the things that Jeff Luno has done right in constructing this thing, you know, drafting Carlos Correa, saving money to draft Lance McCullers, all these other things. There's nothing, almost nothing more important than the tone that A.J. Hinch sets every single day.
Richard, we're right in the middle of it, so you sometimes suffer from myopia. So from the outside looking in from the at the Cubs, does this look like a team that can win the National League? Does this look like a team that the Astros might see in the World Series?
Yeah, and it's the same thing. I mean, they're in a little different spot in that they have to win the division. You know, they missed by one game last year, but it's still the same game. You got to get Hamels in a good place. You got to get Lester in a good place. Kimbrel, all those things. You know, when they won in 16, who were the cornerstones? I mean, the tone, emotionally and physically and production wise, was set by Rizzo and Bryant. You know, now Baez is part of that, and in a more prominent way, and all of that. Just got to be. Hey, the bottom line is, you just got to be playing well at the end. But if you look at the Cubs, you'd say, who's better in the National League? You'd say, well, the Dodgers are probably better. But you have all these other factors coming in. The Mets are playing out of their mind, and now they got those front three guys in the rotation. You don't want to play them in the playoffs. Same thing with Cleveland. You know, you don't want to play them right now. I don't care what their record is. So that's where it is. They're in the mix. It's fun. It's fun to be in the mix, and it's going to be tense and all of that stuff.
Richard, there are some great young players in baseball. Alvarez coming up for Houston has been a big help. You look at the Cubs, just saw Aquino, that guy just going crazy.
Scary.
We know, you know, the Sox once traded Tatis, mother of God, for James Shields. it just seems like there are guys that are making such an impact this year. Look at the Mets. You know, they everywhere you turn, there are good young players.
The Blue
coming
Jays
up
are and, full, have
yeah,
a handful
exactly.
of them.
Right, and what's changed is in 2012, Bryce Harper walked on the field for the Nationals. He was way ahead of schedule, and the 100-year development book said you got to succeed at A-ball, AA, et cetera. And what changed was Bryce Harper wasn't a great player in 2012, but there was no moment in that season where you said, we got to send this guy back down. Astros brought up Carlos Correa in 2015 too early. So what teams decided was, forget the old way of doing things. A player's most productive year on average is age 27. And if a guy's got the talent, let's bring him up, put him in a learning environment, let's nurture him, and let his talent take hold, because let's don't waste those at-bats in the minor leagues. And it's completely changed the way teams do things. Ronald Acuna comes up for the Braves and is a star almost overnight. It was way too soon, but it worked, and that's what's changed about baseball. If you got talent. Now the downside of that is that players always thought they would get their money age when they're 29, 30, 31. And as Farhan Zaidi of the Giants said, we're not paying for past production anymore. We're paying for future production. And what he didn't say was the spreadsheets say that the production goes down in your 31, 32, 33 season. So the players have to find a way to get compensated in the first half of their career, because that's what teams are going to value now.
Richard, thank you a ton. A lot of great information. Really appreciate
good stuff,
the conversation.
Richard. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
That's Richard Justice. Does a remarkable job. You
really good
there.
Point yeah, there no about question. The young players in baseball coming up quicker than they used to. Juan Soto's another example. I'd like to see the White Sox make Luis Robert another one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.